Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, October 9th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, a Halloween boy, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the New York Times quoted at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. Love that shirt, Greg.
I love your shirt. Now, Thank you. First off, this shirt is coming soon to kindoffunny.com/store. It's the Kind of Funny Halloween shirt, showcasing all the Halloween stuff. All the Halloween colors are represented, whether it be orange, black, purple, or green. They're all there. San Francisco Bridge is there. It's a fantastic one. I'm excited.
San Francisco Bridge.
It's coming. These people don't know. They don't, you know, they don't fucking know.
No.
Is he coming in both a t-shirt and as a crew neck sweatshirt? It was just too hot in the studio for me to wear that today.
Yeah,
but maybe I'll wear it on a Kind of Funny podcast. You'll see. Find out later. It's not up right now, but it'll be up there soon. Be ready for it. But that's our shirt. That's our thing. Come buy our stuff. Support us. Yada, yada, yada. Tell me about your shirt.
The shirt's from Super Yaki. If y'all don't know Super Yaki, you should get familiar. Love the brand. They just do a whole bunch of really cool movie-themed merch. Really nice quality. Really great stuff. I'm wearing, of course, the You Come to This Place for Magic shirt featuring Nicole Kidman. Let me show you the back here.
The back, it looks like a nice little page out of something. Yeah. Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
You gotta love it. Gotta love it, everybody.
Hey, we do. You do. I love it. Not as much as the Kind of Funny shirt, kindoffunny.com/store. What happened?
Spiderweb.
Yeah?
Spooky season.
I was this morning walking down. My mom came in for Ben's birthday. She's out in our lobby right now. I was walking down with her bag and my bag through the front yard. Mm-hmm. And just, there was no, just caught a spider web straight in the face. You know what I mean? Like, all right, well, I'm doing this now.
Well, we hung out this weekend.
We did hang out this weekend.
You and I.
Ben's birthday.
Ben.
Yeah.
And he's two.
19 of his closest little baby friends and
so
their
many
parents
babies.
And, yeah, all sorts
so
of stuff.
Many dogs.
Yeah, lots
it
of
was
dogs.
A, it was a different vibe. It was a little glimpse into the world of Greg Miller, a world that I knew existed, but I've never visited myself.
Yeah. My favorite was that there was a point in the party where I was talking to Nick, and Nick just looked around and he goes, "So you know all these people?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I was like, "This is my Kind of Funny life smashed up with my dad life of, well, here's the neighbors and the nannies and the kids and the kids' parents that we all know from the group. And then there's all the video game dorks all hanging out together in the shade."
Yeah, that's really what it was.
Yeah.
It was all the video game motherfuckers in the shade underneath the trees.
Yeah.
And then it was like everyone else out in the scorching sun.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with these people. Play some video games. Find Jesus.
You got these kids. You got to keep them entertained. Get them in the bounce house. Keep them going. Keep them ready to go. You know?
You had a whole ass bounce house, man.
Yeah.
And I was very upset about it. First thing I said when I saw you.
Yeah.
What's the rules with this thing?
Yeah. Your brother said the exact same thing.
Yeah. And your answer didn't fill me with confidence to get in there.
I was like, I told Cool Greg the same thing. Like, maybe we just let the kids have their thing and then eventually we get in there.
Yeah.
And then nobody ever did. It never happened.
You kids know never
I
mean? Left.
Yeah. That's true.
I hear some of them are still in there to this day.
We deflated it and some were eaten alive. Yeah. It wrapped up in there. Yeah. I should have done this earlier. What I'm trying to do here is sending to assets for Kevin. First off, a round of applause to Kevin, everybody, for getting the studio. We had a critical air on Friday where everything just, we came in the, or no, on Thursday, right? Thursday.
Yes, Thursday
came in, the computer did not work, so the studio, the brain of the studio, completely gone. Friday, Kevin spent all day trying to fix it, bringing in the old computer, getting that one up and running so we could actually have the studio up and running, have the show again. Great job on that, Kevin. Very proud of you. I'm trying to send assets, and you can see how bad it is to send something from the iPhone through Slack. I don't know whose fault that is. I assume it's Slack.
No,
but your brother, you know, I had hyped Snowbike Mike up. I'm like, if you come to this kid's birthday party, you got to be Coach Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You got to show them all the things. You got to get out there. You got to teach them t-ball. You got to teach them soccer. You got to do all this stuff. And Mike, of course, big talk, said, no problem. I'll do it, et cetera, and so on and so forth. He got there. He kicked the ball with me and Ben for like 10 seconds. Then what did he do? I don't know. He had some weird gorilla he got for from the gas station.
Not a gorilla.
He got a Stretch Armstrong gorilla.
Oh, I didn't see that.
One for himself and one for Ben.
Good.
And
we're all children.
Exactly. And so he eventually went off. But Cool Greg rose to the challenge of being the cool uncle. It's a nice cool uncle, Greg.
Oh, I like
or
that.
Or Uncle Cool Greg, however you want to do. But he went over there and he played t-ball with Ben for a good 30 to 45 minutes. Just him and out there. And he'd be like, all right, use two hands. I told you, you see. Oh, that's great. And all that stuff. Very good. I threw a video here to Kevin. I know he's prepping. I'm tossing a lot at him. Toss up there. There it is. But this is it. This is cool Uncle Greg, everybody. Look at this. Just out there.
I think Uncle Cool Greg rolls out the tongue a little bit.
Uncle Cool Greg's better? Yeah. Okay, Uncle Cool Greg. You got Cole down there just watching, monitoring the situation as always.
Making sure everything's good.
Yeah. Look at how much fun Ben is having. Open mouth. Cool Greg chugging the beer as he does it. Hell yeah. Gang. That's Uncle Cool Greg for you. That's how it's going to be. But this is just what Cool Greg and him did forever. Just so much fun.
I love it.
Thank you so much for Cool Greg. Heartwarming. It was nice to see the two worlds collide. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah.
Then other kids start showing up. Yeah, trying to steal it.
Problem.
Exactly. Greta, get off it. Get out of here. Get out of here. Yeah, exactly. Enough about how much fun the birthday was this weekend. Let's talk about the fact that the one, the only Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Geddes, has played Super Mario Wonder. We have even more Lord of the Rings Gollum controversy, and we have so much more game news to talk about because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your squad up requests, and everything under the Daily Video Game Sun to be part of our Daily Video Game News show. Then, of course, tune in to watch it live. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And I knew it would have already happened, where you can correct us on things we get wrong as we're live. Tom writes in to say, Greg, it's called the San Francisco Bridge. It's actually the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow.
The amount of time I've seen you fuckers call the Bay Bridge the Golden Gate Bridge, I'm out here ad-libbing, bebopping, scatting left and right, all right? I'm talking to Tim. I'm hosting the show. I'm seeing Cool Greg. Kevin's over there making it run, even though we got speakers out here anymore. I'm just trying to keep it all on track.
I get it.
You got to fucking let it go sometimes, all right? Tom, when you look in the mirror, your name's Mott, so think about that, applesauce. If you can't watch this live, no big deal, of course. You can get it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get Kinda Funny Games Daily, please like, subscribe, share, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, star rate us on Spotify, all that jazz, because it helps us find new listeners. New listeners who might say, you know what? I love this show so much, I want to financially support it at patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can get it on demand. You can get all the other podcasts live as we record them, like the Kinda Funny podcast this afternoon that I'm sure will have all the shenanigans of the birthday party explained. Of course, you get those not only live, but ad-free, then on demand as a video, on demand as an MP3. You get them early before anybody else because we're watching them live and they're up there doing the thing, and that's happening over there. Then there's 300-plus episodes of content we've put up exclusively since October. And if you wanted to be a crazy person, you could go back over 8 years of Kinda Funny content and find all the exclusive Patreon content we put up. And it would probably be thousands of episodes. Mm-hmm. It's all there for the taking. Go get it and get that new premium tier item at kindoffunny.com/premium. However, I digress. No money. Support us. Just get out there. Like, subscribe, share. You know what I mean? Do that. Epic Games. They got a store. You use the code Kinda Funny when you're there. Help us there. If you're playing on your consoles, you're playing like Fortnite, Rocket League, etc., you can put Kinda Funny in there. Support us there. It's helpful, and we like it. Housekeeping for you, ladies and gentlemen. Our Loki Season 2 premiere breakdown is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Thumbs up or down?
Thumbs up, everybody.
Fuck you, IGN.
We're going to be doing...
Fuck you. You
know what I mean? God, absolutely wild.
Well, you said GameSpot pulled this shit too, right? I thought Tam was better than this.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, I think GameSpot gave it a 7, I think. And IGN, I think, gave it a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Those scores do not compute for me for how good this premiere was. Like, sure. I'm pretty baffled. It seems like the general consensus, though, is that people like it. So I think those are just outliers. But even then, like, whatever. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Not on my watch.
I do not agree.
Cool Greg, do me a favor. When we're done with Games Daily, teach me how to smoke. Because next time I see Tamor, I'm taking a drag of a cigarette and flicking it at him and saying, what the hell, man? Thank you very much. Saw 6 in review is also up. That's hell on youtube.com/kindoffunny. That's so a good, good one?
So good. Okay. Man. Dude, I'm telling y'all, watch Saw in review. Even if you're like, I don't want to watch the movies. Hearing us explain the movies has been hilarious.
That's interesting. I might do that. That's a good take.
It's been excellent content. And I feel like it's only gotten better, and our crew has just gelled more and more.
Sure.
The chemistry is now off the charts.
Well, it's about time. I've been saying for a while, Andy and Nick, when are they going to sort it out? They got it going now.
I'm adding Alfredo. That's the X factor.
The sauce, but
remote sauce, him getting the vibe of all of us. Like, it's been fun to see, but we're so there, baby.
Excellent. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twani. Today, we're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
That's the wrong button.
Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Just to drive it home again, ladies and gentlemen, so you understand what's happening. The speakers don't work in the studio. So when Kevin does any of his bits, we either have to listen through the wall for him or just hope it's happening.
Yeah.
And you killed it again, Kevin. You killed it again. We don't need the speakers. Sell them back. You know what I mean? Put them on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Make some money off this studio.
Make some money, dude. Profit.
Number one, Mario Brothers 1.
It's a Monday. Everybody.
Mario Brothers Wonder previews are up right now all over. Now, Tim, you've played it.
I have.
Do you want me to go to these chuckleheads at IGN? Okay.
Let's hear what
and you're Nintendo saying. Life. I was going to give it to both of them. It sounds like I'm just really railing on IGN today, and I'm not. I don't. I love you, IGN. Dale Driver at IGN writes, Super Mario Brothers Wonder is a traditional 2D side-scrolling Mario adventure, more in line with the original trilogy and Super Mario World than its more experimental 3D relatives. But unlike its 2D seniors, Wonder has a new, renewed emphasis on the stage, bringing its worlds to life with ridiculous levels of charm and, yes, I'm going to say it, wonder. Key to this awe are the Wonder Flowers, collectibles that alter the landscape and massively affect how you progress through the levels. During my hour of hands-on time, I've so far seen stage-destroying bull charges, sentient and rideable warp pipes, and torrential downpour of superstars. I see what he's doing. My apologies. That was on me. From even the shortest of glances, the beauty of Mario Wonder's visuals is plain to see. It has a level of vibrancy and motion typically reserved for Mario's 3D worlds. The stages I played also offered a new level of detail to the 2D planes that truly take Wonder to the next level of whimsy. Then PJ O'Reilly at Nintendo Life wrote, there really is quite a lot to get hyped for here if you're a Mario fan. Super Mario Brothers Wonder feels fresh and bold, full of creativity, and packed full of lovely little details and animations. The Flower Kingdom is absolutely buzzing with things to do. Trails to run, badges to earn, levels to beat, and bosses to stomp. And we can't wait for everyone to join in on the fun when the game finally lands in just a few weeks' time. This feels like 2D Mario stepping up to the level of the modern 3D games in terms of inventiveness and creativity, and we are 100% here for it. Timothy Geddes, God bless Nintendo Life, God bless IGN. Mm. But if somebody's watching this show, they know the buck stops with Tim on all things about the Italian plumber. What did you think of Mario Wonder?
Well, I agree with them wholeheartedly. Hey! I feel like the thing that's going to happen a lot with Super Mario Brothers Wonder is what Dale here even said, that the tongue-in-cheek use of the word wonder. Like, they nailed it there. Like, I feel like a lot of people are going to be like, it really is wonderful. It really is just full of wonder every single step of the way, every stage, every world map moment. There is something special happening that just feels special. It's that Nintendo magic kind of distilled into a 2D Mario adventure, our first 2D Mario adventure in
quite
a decade, right?
Yeah.
Not counting Mario Maker 2 and even Mario Maker 1 with the Nintendo created levels that were great, but even then using old art styles, right? So this is the first time we're getting a full brand new Mario adventure. And from what I played of it so far, it is completely delivered on what I expected this to be. Yeah. I will say that I'm still not entirely sure that this is going to be like the best Mario game ever. I don't know that it needs to be, like, with where we're at of, like, I mean, depending on how you're counting this, this is like the 10th 2D Mario game.
Yeah.
But they're getting so much right. And I think that this is going to be such a massive hit for kids and adults. But for kids, I think this game is going to be like,
so when you say that, is it easy? Is it like you're just brain dead through these levels? Are you collecting everything super easily? Like, what's going on?
Yes and no. Okay. So far, I haven't hit too many challenge walls. Okay. Like, oh man, like I need to do this a couple times to get through. But there were some, and it's a Mario game. It's going to start off easy, get harder as you go.
Of course, yeah. I guess that you only played an hour of it as well. Is exactly. that what the preview was?
Got it. So there's still a lot of game left to get to, and you know,
there's at least 2 hours here.
Exactly, and I understand how this game's going to go. So I imagine there will be some type of challenge level at the end that are a bit more tailored to the Miis out there. But that's not the point of it, especially for this one. I want to start by saying that this is the most a 2D Mario game has felt like a 3D Mario game. It feels way more about adventure and collecting things and finding secrets than it does about the obstacle
getting to the fog, to the flagpole,
which is still part of it.
Of course.
But, and even then, there's like challenges added to like getting the top of the flagpole for every level. So they're kind of adapting some of the checklist things from like Mario 3D World that we've loved so much doing with the Jabroni Boys. But what I really love about it is they get rid of the timer. So it is way more about the open exploration. For people that know me and know my taste in Mario games and 2D platforms and stuff, the biggest compliment I can give the game is that it feels more like Yoshi's Island than it does the original Mario trilogy or Super Mario World, in the sense that the level design and the level gimmicks are the whole purpose of this. And that's where the wonder comes into play. Pretty much every level, if not every level, has this wonder flower that you can find, and it just drastically changes.
It's like doing drugs.
The level. It is very much like doing drugs, like touch fuzzy, get dizzy, as featured in Yoshi's Island. But it reminds me a lot of Mario Odyssey, where you have Cappy and you can, you know, get the different enemies. And a lot of those enemies that you get the abilities for are unique to that one level of Odyssey, right? Like, you're not getting them. Like, there's some that are in other levels, but like overall, it feels like a bespoke experience to have the get all the gameplay elements out of that one idea in this level, move on, do something else. And they're doing that in 2D, and it is very much working. I am very impressed with how wowed I have been by, like, oh, that's neat. Like, oh, this is cool. Like,
what a cool idea.
Exactly. And what I think is really, really special is, Kev, if you can bring up the first of the three clips. So when I was little playing Mario 3 for the first time, I'll never forget getting into one of the early levels, and it started auto-scrolling.
Yeah.
And immediately
panic
ensues. Things start falling. There was this level that feels like you're just thrust into something you've never seen before in Mario. Like, at this point, we've played multiple Mario games, and then getting here, it's like, whoa, this is different. And
even get the extra one up. Come
that
up.
Level of like, oh shit, I didn't see this coming. That then kind of builds upon itself. I'm feeling a lot of that in Mario Wonder. Okay, if you go to the next one, I'll never forget being in the first castle level of Mario 3, and you get to this room, and all of a sudden the ceiling with spikes starts coming down, and the fear that I had being this little kid of like, what am I going to do here? And I remember dying the first time just because I panicked, jumped up, and I hit it. And then you learn that lesson, and then you move on. And then, of course, the last one is the sun. When you're in
Mario Sun, we know
the desert level in World 2, and then you see the sun in the background in the beginning of the level, and then about halfway through, it starts chasing you, right?
Yeah.
It's these like little moments that just
you think you know the rules, and then the rules change.
Exactly, and that's the entire point of Mario Wonder. And some of the trailers had made me think that's what they were going for, but playing through it, it's really clear that the sun moment is their goal. Like, they want that to constantly reinvent
that, great.
Constantly throw new things at you. And the things have been so much fun. I think that earlier I was saying I'm not sure like where this is gonna like fall in the pantheon of Mario titles. I love the animation style of this and the look of it overall compared to the new Super Mario Brothers games. I don't know if it's doing enough for me in terms of it being feeling like entirely unique. It still does feel like the cousin of those games. Whereas I feel like I would have loved to see something even more drastically different. But that's all subjective. That is just like the way I'm looking at this and listening to this. It is interesting that a lot of the sound effects are just completely different. The jump sound's different. The coin sound's different. The fireball sound's different. Like, they're really trying to...
A new generation of Mario.
Exactly. I mean, the voice of Mario's different, right? And even then, you can play through... Yeah.
Okay. I followed the thing that Charles... I think it broke when I was away, but Charles left. I knew that, but I didn't realize this was the first game.
Yeah.
Do we know the new voice?
We don't.
Is it just AI?
I don't think they're making it
AI.
Lord.
Hey, it's me. Mario here.
No, it doesn't even sound that much different. Like, I feel like normal people might not even notice.
Sure.
But there's just a lot going on here that's great. I can't wait to get back to it. I can't wait to keep playing it. I already have that vibe of wanting to 100% it, and like I'm kind of forcing myself to not replay the levels to get everything. I'm just like, just keep going on, and then I can go back and play through. But that's great, you know.
Yeah,
the addiction to wanting to go back immediately, and I think an extra element that makes it cool. Ton of different playable characters. They all play the same, but the most playable characters we've ever had. So you could be Peach, you could be Daisy for the first time, the Toads, Mario, Luigi, obviously, and then there's the other characters of Yoshi, multiple colored Yoshis, and then Nabbit, and they play differently. They're a bit more for little kids and
okay.
people new to games. Like
you give you damage. Like, yeah, I was gonna say it's like bumper bowling.
A little more, exactly that type of stuff. But in addition to that, the thing that I think is most exciting for me to keep playing the game and see what where the challenge starts to come later on is this badge system. So going in, there's essentially like a loadout you can have where you apply a different badge to your character that gives them a different ability. So one of them is coin magnet. So it is what it sounds like. It's kind of like in Ratchet and Clank, how the bolts and stuff all just kind of like fly to you. The coins just all come to you. So you don't need to go as out of your way to actually get them. You can kind of like cruise through the level. Other ones are enhancing your wall jump, and it makes you function more like Mega Man does, where you can kind of like slide down the walls differently
or get an extra
jump up. A dolphin kick thing that allows you to like swim a lot better and then faster and have more control. So it's kind of like...
These are badges.
They're called badges. And
so once I earn them, I can apply?
Once you earn the badge, there's like a challenge level you have to do to earn the badge. And then once you do... you can then use that badge in any level. You can only have one badge.
I was going to say, so this is the idea of replaying where I go through a thing and I'm doing whatever and I'm like, I've paid zero attention because I don't want to play this no matter what, but the green coins or whatever the hidden thing over there, I should swim better, so I should come back with the dolphin badge, even though I'm using whatever badge now.
Yep. Gotcha. And I feel like already I'm seeing evidence of that, of the secrets, where I'm like, oh, cool, I know what they want me to do here. I just don't have that badge yet or whatever, so cool, I don't need to worry about it. I can come back later. The badge has been really cool so far. I've already been switching between them a lot, and the game feels very designed to have you do that and have... And on top of these wonderful moments of just the gimmicks and stuff happening in the stages, having the badges and being able to switch them in between each stage, I feel like is adding a lot of player agency that I didn't expect to ever get from a Mario game like this. But so far, I think that this is great. I think that it is going to surprise a lot of people. And
is it a contender for you so far off for now?
I definitely, I think it's going to be. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, for me personally, absolutely. But I think it's going to be for a lot of other people too. And that's the thing that I think it puts me in a unique situation here, is that like I've played every Mario game. I 100% the Mario games. I like go back to playing them a lot. And like, I know a lot of other people, the last 2D Mario game they played, like, I don't even know what it was. Cause like, they just like, this looks just like the other ones did. So I'm not going to play through it, you know? I think that this might be, for most people, some of the criticisms I have of the art style and stuff, they won't, because they're not going to be directly comparing it.
Sure.
Even New Super Mario Bros. U, which is a fantastic game, but I understand people being completely over that style, because at that point, that was the like third game that looked like that. And now that we've had Mario Maker also use that style, it's just very kind of like overdone. But I think that this one, especially with the Switch being as successful as it is, I think that this game is going to sell a ridiculous amount. And I think because of that, the moment you play it, you're going to get it. And I think that a lot of people are going to play this that haven't been playing Mario games for a long time. And I think it's going to hit them a lot harder than they might expect. Because I know a lot of people are like, I like 3D Mario. I don't like 2D Mario. I think this one's going to get them.
Sha_Cho says, how are you feeling about the art style, Tim?
I can't say I don't like it, because constantly there's moments that I'm like, oh, that is awesome. And it's because of the art style. The way that the Mario animates and emotes from everything it's incredible. There is a look to it with like it's hard to explain, but the animation style, it's like he's always kind of looking isometric.
Okay.
Like you're always seeing a certain side of his face, and just the angle it's at almost makes the characters look like claymation. A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that from the trailer.
And there'll be like these effects around him. Like when you get the fire flower power up, he like jumps up in this super epic pose and like fireballs like go around.
Oh, nice.
Like this 2D like art style thing. And like it's cool. Like it's really like, oh, this seems special. But then overall, I'm like, it's not as different from the new Super Mario Brothers games as I would have liked. Like, there's still something that I always use the word sterile. There's something that feels sterile about it. But maybe that's just me. I don't want to harp on it too much because it, while it bothers me, I don't think it's going to bother the majority of people.
Question from me, stemming from the chat. When we were watching the Super Mario Brothers 3 clip and the jabroni boy couldn't even get the 1-up as it fell, I said, 1-up, extra life, whatever. Somebody in the chat said, extra man, say it, Greg. Where do you come down on this?
I'm not a man guy.
Yeah, okay. No. Where is that coming from?
Yeah, I'm a life guy.
Yeah, sure. Extra life. Yeah, like, well, 1-up, I mean, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's an extra life. Like, extra man.
I mean, it's the Mario thing, right?
So this is an East Coast thing? If Mike Drucker would say he...
Probably.
Yeah.
Mike Drucker, specifically, he feels like an extra man type of guy. Here we go. Mike Drucker getting called right now. My mom always used to get really mad at me when I would say, like, I died in Mario.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. For some reason, she got really offended by it. Like, you got to stop saying that. I'm like, I don't know, man. It is what it is. Fell down a hole. Little turtle.
He does feel like an extra man guy. Or call failed immediately.
That was weird.
Maybe the telecoms are taking over. What about Jared Petty? He feels like an extra man type of person, too.
Hi, this is Mike Drucker.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Mike Drucker. Hold on, he's texting me at the same time. Oh, he's in it. Okay, you're in a meeting. I'm going to text you. You're live on the show. All right, sorry. He's saying he's in a meeting. I like how Drucker is so disconnected. He says, is everything okay? Because he knows I would never call. I'm going to say, yes, everything is okay. It's a bit on the show. What do you call a green mushroom in Mario? Like you. What do you call it?
He's going to call it 1-Up. Because that's what the mushroom's called.
But you think he would
say... What does the 1-Up mushroom get you?
Okay, okay. What does the... Oh, let's see what he says, though. What does the mushroom get you? We will wait and see. With
and now we wait.
This is how podcasts used to be recorded in Victorian days, where they had to write letters and then wait for their friends to respond. We do have a question from Cozy Bear, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, to be part of the show, and says, Mario Wonder previews are out, and they're super duper positive. With the future of 2D Mario looking bright, what would you want to see Nintendo? Would you want to see Nintendo take another stab at another Mario Maker next, or instead focus on Wonder DLC?
Very interesting. I don't know that I'm necessarily going to say the future 2D Mario looks bright. Like, this is the first one we've gotten in 10 years. Like, I don't know. After this, what do we get? I don't think we're going to get DLC for this. I don't know that we need it either. And I also think that it's way too early for another Mario Maker. There's no purpose for it. Mario Maker 2 still kicking, and anything that you really need to accomplish.
And I'm not insulting it, but like, I always felt like it would be a big, when Mario Maker got announced, I was like, this is gonna be such a big deal, and it never ever caught fire the way I thought it would.
I mean, I feel like it did for the extents that it could reach. Like, I think that there was a couple things that kind of like kneecapped it to not be able to really, I mean, it's Nintendo, so online, the way you search for things, like, it's always just easier to complain about than it is to like use.
Sure.
And
sure,
I think
sure,
that
sure.
That's just the Nintendo way, WNDs. But I feel like Mario Maker 2...
Throw them up in the chat, WNDs!
Mario Maker 2, I feel like, really did have its moment with Twitch, which is, that is where you'd see right? Yeah. But yeah, incredible game. I just don't know how much more that they would need to add. I don't know if we're going to get a Mario Maker 3 anytime soon. I don't know. I would want just another new game, hopefully with a completely different art style.
When you say completely different art style, what are you envisioning? Or do you not even know? Because you want to be shocked.
I mean, I say this all the time, but you look at Mario 1, 2, 3, World, Yoshi's Island. They all look completely different. Like, they all have absolutely, from the ground up, different design aesthetics. Like, Mario 3 looking like a play. Mario 1 having the classic, real, just like color blocky matte going on. Yoshi's Island being in entirely like Crayola like storybook style. That type of stuff. And I think it's harder and harder because back then it was essentially just Mario. Now it's video games. There's thousands of them.
Of course.
So doing something new and fresh is a lot more challenging. But then you look at what Mario's become, like, ever since Mario 64 happened and he got the voice,
Wahoo!
Mario's looked the same. Like, whether it's 3D, 2D, like, that, we understand what Mario, it feels like there's, like, a design Bible that they have to live by.
Sure.
I would love to see them get out of that and, like, have a bit more fun with it. So, yeah, something just completely different.
Okay. I'm excited.
You should be.
I want to play this.
Good.
I like a Mario.
I'm excited for Ben to play it.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. I do have breaking news from back home. Ben, under the weather today. So he's getting to just watch TV and sit on the couch. This is the first time he's been, like, sick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Jen finally gave in to what I've been saying over and over again. I think he might like this. Here's what I got. He's watching Cars. He is so into it. Has not looked away once.
Good.
So that's what we got. Life is a highway.
Hell yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Cars doesn't get enough love. Cars gets entirely too much hate. Cars 2 sucks. We all can admit that. Cars is fantastic.
All right. Well, when I get home tonight, we won't watch Cars 2.
Don't.
I'll show him Larry the Cable Guy stand up. We'll get him
you
right
do that.
There. Yeah. And you, ladies and gentlemen,
great too.
Can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You could watch us record the podcast live as we recorded them, like the Kinda Funny podcast this afternoon. And of course, you could get hundreds of exclusive shows we've done only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But right now, you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, so here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. The NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. You can bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets, and DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game this October. There's a ton of these football games happening, and each and every one, you're going to want to be there on DraftKings Sportsbook. You can get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and you can use code KINDAFUNNY. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's code KINDAFUNNY only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, you can call 1-877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. You can call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, LA. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in ONT. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms responsible gaming resources.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Dibby, 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 yeah, if you're going my way. Like in that Rascal Flatts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
Saw them
mean.
Rock the Hearn Center in Columbia, Missouri. Let me tell you, got hit in the head with a streamer, hurt real bad. Number two on the Roper Report. EA Sports FC pulls in 11 million users during its debut week. This is Jeffrey Rousseau over at GamesIndustry.biz. EA Sports FC 24 has reached a player count of 11.3 million globally since the week of its launch. Meanwhile, EA Sports FC Mobile hit 11.2 million users 10 days after its release. Additionally, the mobile title was downloaded by 2.2 million players on the day of its launch. Quote, "In addition to welcoming back millions of our longtime players, new players in FC 24 are up nearly 20% year over year, showing the excitement of football fans everywhere to join the club," said EA Sports President Cam Weber.
"The club.
We are building the world's biggest football community through EA Sports FC, and we're just getting started," end quote. Last week, EA Sports FC 24 was the UK's second biggest retail launch of 2023. So, Tim, no worries about losing the FIFA name.
Not at all.
Football fans are smart enough to know that EA Sports FC is, in fact, just FIFA, but without the FIFA.
And they're showing up, man. It is always wild to me, like the numbers that we're talking about when it comes to these games.
Of course.
It is just a behemoth.
Yeah.
And they're out there making that money.
Yeah.
That cash.
You got that blessing. You got that Janet over there just gobbling it up. Just gobbling it up, wanting to go out there and kick the old football around.
I mean, look at this, dude.
Plain.
EA Sports Mobile, 11.2 million 10 days after its release. EA Sports 24, 11.3 million since its launch. It's like, those are big numbers, man, for these games that like aren't on Game Pass.
Yeah. Outrageous. EA, no sign of stopping. Mm-mm. Now bring back EA big.
Please.
Number three on the Roper Report. New report makes disturbing allegations against the Lord of the Rings Gollum developer. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN.com. A refresh report on the Lord of the Rings Gollum developer. And do we ever figure out the exact way to say this? Daedalic? Is that where we come down? Daedalic? Chat, you're going to give me 15 pronunciations? Let me know. Entertainment has made a number of disturbing allegations about the company, including reportedly enforcing uncompensated overtime, allegedly trying to pay staff below minimum wage, and a toxic work environment cultivated by an abusive leadership. Daedalic? Daedalic? D-day-luck. Day-delic. As always, chat's no help whatsoever. You know what I mean?
There's so many different ways to pronounce it.
I love that no matter how I say it, 90% of the chat's going to think I'm a fucking idiot. And then, but you break that down, they think the other 45% of the, like, there's the, no one's agreeing. No one agrees. Day-dolic, says Vives.
Daedalic? Whatever.
DD Luke. We're going to go Daedalic. All right. Daedalic seems to be one. I got two in a row there that say Daedalic. We're going with that. If it's not right, sorry, everybody. But maybe you suck, so who cares? Lord of the Rings Gollum is one of the biggest video game flops of 2023. IGN's review, which returned a 4 out of 10, said it was, quote, filled with dull stealth, bad platforming, and a pointless story, and does little to justify why anyone should take the time to play it, end quote. Following Gollum's disastrous release, during which it was panned by critics and players and met with low sales, Daedalic Entertainment shut down its internal development arm and canceled a follow-up The Lord of the Rings game, codenamed It's Magic. This resulted in layoffs totaling 25 staff. Sorry. Now, a 40-minute video from German publication Game 2, titled Why Gollum Had to Fail, alleges significant failings at both Daedalic and publisher Nacon, having spoken with 32 people who worked on the game. Quote, "There was an atmosphere of fear," one anonymous source said. IGN has contacted both Daedalic and Nacon for comment, although it's worth noting denial statements were issued to Game 2 and shown in the video. Game 2 reveals the production budget for Gollum was around 15 million euros or $15.9 million. This was an incredibly low amount for a supposed AAA The Lord of the Rings video game and factored into many of its failings. The report also details a number of cuts made to the game and makeshift systems added ahead of its launch and alleges publisher Nacon used AI tool ChatGPT to write the apology statement issued after Gollum's failings became public. According to Game 2, this apology was issued without Daedalic's knowledge. IGN sources back up the Game 2 report, describing Daedalic's low pay, crunch, and toxic work culture as an open secret within the German video game industry. Game 2 alleges Datalic exploited young employees and interns, not just in terms of low pay, but their lack of experience within the industry. Claim also backed up by IGN sources. In the video, Datalic denies currently employing interns. That's a funny statement to end on.
God.
Yo, listen, you've heard a lot of crazy shit in this video. We don't employ interns. Bye. He shuts the window. God. Done talking. That wasn't even what we're mad about. What are you doing?
There's so much bad shit here, man. Like, this is horrible.
Of course.
Like, again, we've been talking about these stories, like horrible workplace stories for years now. But like, to get to this, it's like there's not even a single like ray of light in this entire, every element of this story is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it goes into what you want to talk about. If you're going to treat your employees like shit and like do all these different things, then yeah, the product's not going to be great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what you want to get in here. And so obviously all of this fucking sucks. I'm glad they're getting called out on it. If true, of course, these are allegations. IGN is backing up with their sources as well, but obviously we don't know exactly what's happening over there. But yeah, you know, what you put in is what you get out in the end. And Gollum was a fucking turd. So it sucks that people had to live under these regimes and had to work like this, but at least the story's out there. No, they know.
Roger Corny.
Roger, remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when he was, that was the hill he was going to die on, that he's going to play through that entire game, so he didn't owe anybody a pizza.
God. He did it.
He did it. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, this is another one, too. The wrinkle I feel on this one is the fact that this is a German developer, right? Where it's like, obviously, for us, North American, even European, English-speaking territories, I feel like we're up on a little bit more of like, of course, people are watching. You can't do that kind of shit, blah, 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 blah. It's when you get into Eastern European, right, and we have a language barrier, or even Japan, right, where it's really you're relying on stories and stuff like that, and that's something where a Jason Schreier doesn't have the same kind of contacts, really, to get somebody out to find out what's going on over there. It sucks to see that this can happen, right, where I feel like you have something like Datalic, which is a company most people weren't paying attention to before they got this license and had something to do over there, so they're just able to kind of get away with this, but obviously have it blow up in their face to some degree. We will have to wait and see for the next Lord of the Rings game. Remember, they should be making Clerks video games, not Lord of the Rings things. But that's beside the point. That's beside the point. Number four in the Roper Report, October's PlayStation Plus extra games have leaked. This is Andy Robinson at VGC. October's PlayStation Plus game catalog titles have been revealed via a reliable leaker. Unlike October's PlayStation Plus essential games, which are available for all subscribers to claim, game catalog's downloadable PS4 and PS5 titles are only available for PS Plus Extra and Premium tier members. According to reliable Deal Labs leaker, Bill Coon,
baby.
October's headline editions include Gotham Knights, the Dark Pictures anthology House of Ashes, Disco Elysium The Final Cut, and Far Changing Tides. Other games being added to the PlayStation Plug game catalog this month, according to the leak, are Gungrave Gore, Elite Dangerous, Dead Island Definitive Edition, and Alien Isolation. It's claimed that the official announcement revealing all the games should take place on October 11th. Cool. What do you feel about this?
I mean, sounds about right. These are the level
House of Ashes, great game. Great spooky game. Mm-hmm. Good time to drop that one. Get that in there. You know,
Gotham Knights, you know, like, not necessarily the best game ever, but I do think that that is the level of game that, like, is exciting to be coming to this type of service.
Is that the one that's exciting? Disco Elysium Final Cut, I think.
I mean, in terms of, like, level of quality, sure, but in terms of level of, like, expectations and AAA-ness, I feel like this all adds up to me. This is what we expect. I don't know what else there would be at this point, right?
Sure.
That's the funniest thing about these subscription services. It's just like, there's only so many games and so many things people can even offer.
Yeah.
Like, not that exciting anymore. That's why you look at the Nintendo Switch Online and it's like, all right, there's another Kirby game. I didn't even know there were that many Kirby games.
Yeah, I hear you on that, of course. And again, they're not making a big deal about this, right? These probably would be more quiet additions. Maybe get a blog post, maybe get a tweet about it, right? That it's there, but adding in value for even Dead Island Definitive Edition. I mean, Dead Island's come a long way from that original game, but so I don't even remember what's in the Definitive Edition, but Dead Island used to be fun to play. Dead Island 2, I've had a fun time with. Dead Island 2, you want to know?
Uh-oh.
Here's where we're going to get fucking...
Oh, God.
Here's where I'm going to be a mad lad and let you guys know what the fuck's going to happen. In November, God and or Satan will smile upon us once again.
Yes.
And give us the PlayStation Portal. And I will be on the fast track to platinuming Dead Island 2. Because Dead Island 2, I've left on the PlayStation hard drive. It is sitting there. I have like, what? I have like 86% of the side missions to do. I just got to go back and kill a bunch of zombies and finish off the side missions. And I enjoyed Dead Island enough. And it will be, I still have the salivation, like Pavlov's dogs. You know what I mean? Jen turns on Grey's Anatomy. I turn on the backbone of my phone, and I feel like I should be playing Dead Island.
I get it, man. Dude, they should name the PlayStation Portal the PlayStation Platinum Getter. Because that's what it's going to be.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Oh, the old Portal does, too. Huh?
It's a portal to your PlayStation 5. It makes perfect sense.
Perfect fucking.
They should just call it the PlayStation Portable.
Yeah. Does it work with the PlayStation Play Link? Or is it just PlayStation Link? Figure shit out, PlayStation. And when the fuck is it coming out?
The Portal?
The Play Link stuff. The Link stuff. The headset.
Isn't that it's coming out? They already announced this, didn't they?
Did they? I don't think so.
When they tell you about the Portal and you could do...
We have a portal date. I don't think we have a date for the headsets.
Portal. Well, if memory serves, from my preview was that the earbuds were going to launch alongside the portal, was what they told me back in the day.
I don't know. No announcements.
No announcements, really?
Yeah, can you call somebody? I don't know who.
Yeah, I don't know who to call on that one. I don't know.
But I want to know.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But I'm very excited for this portal because... I was looking at my trophies recently, and I realized that there's something that bothers me, Craig, and I'm sure this bothers you more than most people.
Sure, yeah.
Is when you platinum a game,
yeah,
and you love it so much.
I love it so much.
And then they put out a new version of the game, and then they add more trophies, and it's like...
Have the platinum, but the number of the percentage drops.
It just bothers me. Yeah, and so I'm like, I know most people at this point have probably platinumed Spider-Man, like, entirely.
I am so high!
But I was looking at it. I'm like, I don't know that I want to do the new game plus and on Spider-Man Remastered. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
With the PlayStation Portal, I might just do it.
Okay, fair enough.
Why not?
Go through and do it there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not one where you have to do it like on the hardest difficulties or some garbage?
Ultimate difficulty. Yeah. Ugh. But I mean, shit. If I'm just chilling there, watching Real Housewives on PlayStation Portal and PlayStation Platinum Gettering in, I'm gonna do it. Maybe. But I'm bothered by Sifu. Because I'm very proud of my Sifu Platinum. My proudest Platinum, absolutely. But now I have the problem where I don't have 100%. The percentage is low. Because the arenas. There's two sets of new trophies. Arenas 1 and Arenas 2. And I love arenas, but there's no way I'm platinuming that stuff. It's very difficult. Life's hard to be me.
But it's like... Because of the PlayStation Link, I can't use my... AirPods with the portal. So are they gonna? They're not gonna launch the portal without a wireless solution. I'm not gonna. I mean, I get wired headphones. Oh, boohoo!
They are. I mean, because think about this. Like the pre-orders are up now for the portal, and they're not up for anything else.
The Pulse Explore wireless earbuds.
Getting tough, everybody. Because I'm so excited for these new headsets. I need to know, especially now that Odyssey's been acquired. Odyssey's a fun
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
I appreciate it. Finally, somebody's gonna.
Jim Ryan's gonna answer to me before he retires on what the hell's going on with this stuff. Huh. I don't like that one bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's gotta be. They gotta just. November 15th, we got time before they can. You know what I mean?
I mean, we do, but we're running out of it by the second. Tick, tick.
Number 5 on the Roper Report, Halo Season 5 is coming October 17th. We go to a tweet from Halo. Halo Infinite's Season 5 Reckoning launches October 17th. Are you ready for game mode extraction, 2 arena maps, flood-themed customization, free 20-tier battle pass, multi-core helmets, Forge AI toolkit, match XP and custom games, plus more. Hashtag Halo Reckoning. Tim, are you ready for this?
I'm not, but I love every single time I look over at Mike's desk, and the percentage of time that he's playing Halo is so funny to me, and I love it. But it shows out. They be updating this game, y'all.
Like, they're trying.
Here we are. They are trying, but anyway, I love it. Good for them.
Will you ever, I mean, would there be, is this the Battle Royale? Is that what, because you were on the hype train for this. Update.
Yeah, I love Infinite, and I love the way that it plays. It's just, there was a lot of things about the rollout overall that kind of like, didn't allow it to succeed the way that I wish that it would.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not doing any of the things that are going to get me back in, but I'm so basic. Like, I just want old stuff again, make it shinier and new.
Okay.
But
chat, are you playing Halo Infinite still? I want to know. I want to see a bunch of stuff there on my YouTube and Twitch chats here. Okay. Cause it's going to go and I'm going to get a lot of yeses and nos in 3, 2, 1. Here they come. Off and on, says Felonis. No.
The Vinster says this is by far the best.
No, Infinite sir. League. No. No. Yes, Greg, says Alex. No. Xbox fanboy a no. Here comes the no's have it by quite a while. Now I ask you, chat. I'm going to ask you, will this make you come back? And now you say, will come back, won't come back. Because if you say yes or no, I will be like,
the problem with Halo for me is what I want from Halo, like real talk, is for all my friends to be equally into it and all of us playing together.
Okay.
That's not going to happen anymore.
Gotcha.
There's no update that I think is going to like do that. A battle royale of some sort, potentially. Yeah. I also think, that if that were to happen here,
yeah,
that it would need to be a new standalone game, not tied to
internet. My mom's flying back to Chicago.
Thanks, Mom.
Bye, safe. Bye.
Okay.
Love it.
Will not but come
back. You get
back.
What I'm saying, though?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, totally. 100%.
And I feel like that's...
It's a vibe, yeah. Right? Yeah, 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 yeah.
There was something so special about the beta period of Halo Infinite when me, Mike, and Andy were actually like playing. And it was so much fun. And then it just petered out.
Yeah.
God.
Mike, are you excited for this Halo update? 6 out of 10 Mike screams from offset. Okay. Did you ever stop playing? Like, why am I yelling? Did you ever stop playing, Mike? He stopped playing. Yeah. Just he stopped putting stuff in his hair. Well, here he comes jogging
it, man.
In. I'm not knocking it.
I'm just not pulling it up. See, here's the deal, Greg. A lot of people say that Halo's still great, and Halo is. Halo is still a ton of fun to play. It is a great moment-to-moment game, but the giant user base and the, you know, excitement fell off pretty quick, and I think that's been the detriment to Halo. But 343, by all indications, are trying their best. They're using a lot of user-generated content through Forge. They're making their own maps, and that's exactly what you want. But, you know, I think people like Tim, where it's like, oh, Tim, the hype that we had in November will never be the same for him.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you like that cutting-edge criticism, make sure you listen to the X-Cast, especially the most recent episode, because I'm on it. It's great. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see if Halo can ever come back to the top of the pile. If he can ever be king of the hill again.
I like that.
But that could be so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every.
Yeah!
Out today, you got Builder Simulator, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. New dates for you? Bonson Knights for Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Switch, and PC has been delayed till December 14th. Iconi Island and Earthlock Adventure launches November 9th on all the Xboxes, all the PlayStation and PC. And then Little Goody Two Shoes comes October 31st to Xbox X, PS5, Switch, and PC. Kevin, I would love to see a trailer for Little Goody Two Shoes. What's
going on?
What the fuck is this game?
Yeah, you need to know.
Reader Mail. Let's get someone in here, okay? If you want to be part of Reader Mail, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Blessing is giving me two questions to choose from. Maybe I do them both. Oh, we're going to go with Gavin Goss.
Goss it up.
And this is one that you can answer.
Mm.
Do I, this is Gavin, not Greg, do I pull the trigger and buy a PS5 for Spider-Man 2? I'm an Xbox guy, but I feel an insane amount of FOMO not being able to play Spider-Man 2. Really wishing there was a Series S equivalent to the PlayStation because $500 is a lot. Now, of course, we are reviewing Spider-Man 2 next week, 1 week from today on kindoffunny.com. Just kindoffunny.com, I guess. You know what I mean? And all the podcast services, all that jazz. However, so I can't talk about it. I've been playing it. You did a preview of it. So You've actually played it in a way you could talk about it.
Yeah.
From your preview.
I mean, I think you could even just take Spider-Man 2 out of it.
Sure.
And I still think the answer is yes. You add Spider-Man 2. And the answer is absolutely. $500 is a lot of money. I do think that a PS5 Pro, to some extent, is inevitable in the next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can hold off a bit, it might be worth it.
Hold on, this is a little goody two shoe game. Hold on a second now.
Not what I expected. I got to be real. It's actually.
Well, when's the game start? Like right now, I'm watching. Oh, here we go. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Yeah, but this is cool. There's like more artistry to this than...
Yeah. There's some artistry, some deviant artistry is what I'd say. You know what I mean? Like, This is definitely going for an audience that bought the PlayStation Vita. All right, that's what I'll say right
that's
there.
That's a great way to put it. Man, I hate the fact that I was some artistry and I point as this
Let's see the next giant
tentacle.
Red flag. We're still watching the trailer. Yeah. What's the next red flag for Little Goody Two-Shoes?
This doesn't look like some bullshit Flash stuff, though. Like, this looks like handcrafted to a point that I appreciate. And hey, you know what? There's anything that I've seen here that is crossing the line. You know what I mean?
Let's
get away before I take that
all
back.
Right. All right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Anyways, you're saying just based on the success in the library of the PS5 already.
I think the PS5, I often sit in wonder as I sit there on my PlayStation 5, like, goddamn, how are we here?
Sure.
I'm just so impressed with the level of quality of games that we're getting. And, you know, a lot of them are on PS4 as well. So I would say the majority of the games that I would say are worth it are also available on PS4, like Miles Morales. Miles Morales on PS4?
Yes.
Yeah, so Miles Morales, Ragnarok.
Last of Us Part 2.
Last of Us Part 2. I mean, Last of Us, period, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, like, there isn't anything necessarily that's like, oh, man, so I guess Spider-Man 2 would be that turning point. Final Fantasy 16, I'm selling myself on this. Get a PS5. But I don't, we know that there's, we don't know. We assume there's a Pro of some sort coming soon. I imagine that there might be a cheaper version as well. There's been talk about
disc driveless,
which there already is.
Yeah, PS5, but like moving
a new iteration, whatever. I don't know. I feel like if you were a gamer, a PS5 is a worthy investment.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. Regardless of Spider-Man.
Yeah,
which I hope is amazing.
Yeah,
you'll find out next week. I'll find out next week. And then, yeah, I'll toss one more question in here. Four Big Guys, great name. Hello, everyone. With Game Awards season approaching, I had a question. If you could add one category to the Game Awards nominations, what would it be? I'll jump in here. I don't know the answer, but because this isn't something I thought about, so I read it right here on the page. But I'd like to see... I would like to see some kind of... And this, stick with me, it's a terrible title, but a games journalist of the year, or you know what I mean? Like I trending gamer, of course I crushed it. They were like, we can't do this anymore after they did a few bad guys. And then they changed it to content creator of the year, and content creator of the year is understandably often interpreted as streamer, YouTuber, whatever, you know, esports superstar person, whatever. I'd love there to be a, here's where we're talking about Jason Schreier and Reb Valentine or and Damon with Game Scoop or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love to see that kind of honor in a way, but I don't know exactly what that'd be. Maybe it would even be to diversify and do best article, best podcast, best whatever in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I feel like those are great answers. In terms of games, though, I feel like it's not so much a new category. I mean, it might have to be, but a better way to talk about Nintendo games.
Not just family game of the year.
That's the thing, is it's like it just kind of feels like this weird default, and there is something, there's a difference between Nintendo games and then the rest of games, and I feel like I don't know the right way to qualify that, unless there was just a best PlayStation game, but best Nintendo game, best Xbox game, and I know why some people might not want to do that, but also I feel like that when we're talking about exclusives, that could make a lot of sense. And yeah, it gets weird sometimes when Nintendo just gets caught, and not only just Nintendo gets caught, but then like what a family game even means. It's just that category is a little iffy.
Fair enough. I like that. I appreciate it. And I thank you. Just like I thank everyone watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, of course, you should go to kindoffunny.com. / you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Here we go. Only one correction outside of the San Francisco Bridge stuff. Gabe PH says, from Daedalic Entertainment's website, Daedalic Entertainment is named after Daedalus, the ancient Greek artist, inventor, and architect, who, according to legend, designed the labyrinth as well as the wings made from feathers and wax. At this point, Google's pronunciation of Daedalus is, Daedalus. So then it would be Daedalic.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Daedalic. Justin34M says, Daedalic these nuts. And that's how I'll remember it.
That is how,
I'll remember.
The chat went by, so I don't have the name. I'm sorry. But somebody said most hype sequence in a game. I would love that. That is something that I feel like matters a lot.
The problem with give it, though, it to Star Wars Jedi right now
or not. You know what I mean? Like, there's a ton of ton of great moments.
No, I think we just get. I just said moments. We gave it away.
Zelda, baby. Final moments, baby.
Good enough.
God. The problem with that is spoilers. Like, that's the type of stuff that, like, you explicitly need to spoil the best moment of games.
Sure. So, yeah.
That's hard to talk about, but yeah,
I don't mind doing it though. You want me to do it for some? I'll talk about them right now.
The entirety of Final Fantasy 16.
He has a dog.
He does. Orgle.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
Final
Monday.
Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah.
You're gonna get to it.
Speaking of Final Fantasy 16, everybody, it's a brand new week here of kinda funny games, daily shows, and that means new show hosts because we'll be here each and every weekday. Tuesday, it's me and Blessing. Wednesday, it's Blessing and Andy. Thursday, it's Tim. And Final Fantasy 16's Ben Starr.
Woo!
Is Ben Starr in the building?
He will not be in the building. He will be calling in remote, but he will be co-hosting Games Daily with me, which I'm very, very excited about. He's going to talk a little bit about his new Kickstarter for a D&D project that him and a lot of other video game voice actors are working on called Natural Six.
Oh.
So excited about that. And I Kevin, freaking love Ben so much.
Ben's great. Can I get the one? Can I get my one real quick? Ben Starr, I didn't know you were a gutless fucking coward. Get your ass to San Francisco to sit here next to Tim like a decent host would do, all right? I understand that you've been a kind of funny best friend for a long time, and now you're a voice actor. You're a big deal voice actor, so you think you can push us around and fuck up our schedule. So here's what I want you to do. Reach back 16 months ago when you were fucking nobody, when you would have been on the side of the road and no car would have stopped for you, no matter how handsome you were, because they didn't know you were the fucking voice of Final Fantasy 16, all right? Reach back there and ask that Ben Starr if he would have taken, the 45-minute flight to San Francisco in so much trouble. I can't. He's in L.A., right?
He's in London.
Ah, fuck. All right, Ben Starr, you're off the hook. Thank you.
I hate you so much, Greg.
And then Friday, it's Tim and Blessing to close out your week and have a great show and have a great time on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had a great time with you on this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course, you can get Kinda Funny Games Daily live, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, each and every weekday. If you ever miss it live, no big deal. Of course, we put it up on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, please like, subscribe, share, rate it. That covers it. You understand? Ring the bell, all that shit. You know what I mean? If you're on the things, following with the money and stuff, doesn't matter. Then, of course, if you really like us, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode ad-free. You can watch us record the podcast live as we record them like we're doing this afternoon for the Kinda Funny podcast. Of course, if you didn't know, when we end Kinda Funny Games Daily, the day just rolls on here with big streams. Of course, we'll be doing the Kinda Funny Games Daily post show where we answer your super chat questions on YouTube. But when that finishes, the live stream continues on Twitch and YouTube, where the Jabroni Boys are being joined by the one, the only, in studio, because he's a real Kinda Funny best friend, Ron Funches. Ron Funches is in the building right now and will be joining the boys to stream some video games. But I digress. He's still got a super chat show before then, so get him in on YouTube and all that. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm exhausted. I'll tell you what, you do a 2-year-old's birthday party, it's exhausting. I didn't know they matched. The shoes match the shirt, of course.
Of course they do.
When you designed the studio,
yeah,
how long did you go, how can I show off an entire outfit? Like, did you think about making a glass table and all this stuff?
I mean, here's the thing. I don't know how much people understand this. The reason I sit where I sit on the Game of the Breaky show and all that stuff is because back in the day with the old desk, it was the only
way to see your outfit.
Way to see the shoes.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah.
And this desk has robbed me of that.
Yeah.
Which is why the KF podcast is the most important day for me. Whatever day we're doing that, that's when I have to show up the most with the fit.
I love it.
Because you see it all.
I appreciate that.
For you.
You, that's listeners. Right. You, Melissa Hagler, and your goat. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Can't believe
it. Welcome, star. Mike.
Mike's here, everybody. Mike. Mike.
Damn, Mike, that was excellent. No,
no. Mike's got that energy.
Happy Monday. Wake up, chat. I'm here. You're here. And we're ready for today's Kind of Funny Games Daily Post Show with me and your two incredible show hosts. It's Tim. It's Greg. It's you. Super chatting. Resubscribing to tier 1-3 level. Tim Geddes, what do you got on your mind?
Mike, I've been telling you how much I like this hair.
Oh, okay? You like this one. Okay.
I really do. I will say, I think it needs a little bit more push up. Like, I don't like it being as pushed down onto your face.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll tell you, Tim, this is all hands. Like, there's no gel. Nothing. But it's like just either like, I do this or I do this. One of the two.
I think just even just a like, even well.
I'm thinking about this.
But just, no, let's not.
I'm thinking that.
Here's the thing. I like it so much because I feel like it fits your personality. Like what you just did of flinging it around and stuff, that is good.
Thank you, Tim. That is power, Mike,
that only you can pull off.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was at a birthday party yesterday, Tim. Mm-hmm. And if I knew that we were all going to dress like train conductors and wear our overalls, I would have shown up,
Well,
man.
Maybe if you would have talked to me about it instead of RSVPing, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I appreciate it.
I gave you a hard maybe.
That was a good job.
Mike came through clutch, Greg. Okay. I don't think you know.
Put all that stuff in the trunk. Sorry we brought presents when we weren't supposed to bring presents.
I loved it.
A lot of great presents. Did you open any of the presents?
So,
did the kid open any presents?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you didn't see the Kind of Funny podcast a few weeks ago when I was out on vacation.
Yeah.
The crew had a conversation about what is the most annoying gift we can get Ben. And they decided to get both of them. So they got Tim brought a drum set, a full kitted out little drum set for little Benny.
With LED lights.
With LED lights. And the team pitched in and got a power wheel for Ben.
Yes.
And so from my perspective, obviously yesterday is a complete fucking blur fever dream. Mm. But there was a moment where I was surrounded by everybody doing things, passing out cake, I don't even know. And I saw you guys and Nick walk away. And I was like, where are they going? And then I went about my business, and for 3.5 minutes later, I look over, and Nick's walking in with this gigantic power wheel box.
Giant box.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So in terms of opening them, I had it's been a fever dream weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, mom's in out of the blue. This is happening. Blah, blah, blah. And mom was only here in less than 48 hours, so she came in just for this birthday party, right? Yesterday, I got the power wheel back home, and I was like, I'm going to build it during his nap.
Exactly. Yeah.
I looked at it, and the box said it takes 4 to 6 hours to charge. And I was like, okay, he's not napping that long. I'll build it tonight. Then we'll wake up Sunday morning. We can take it out in the park.
Oh.
And then I went, wait, no, today's Sunday. Tomorrow's correct. Monday morning. I have to go to work. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to put it together because he can't see it. Once he sees it, it's all he's going to want to do.
Popping.
So what we're going to do, I've put off building it until Friday night. That way, Saturday morning, we wake up, we bring him out, he flips out, we ride into the park, we're having fun.
Now, Kev is the one that actually picked out this iteration of it.
Yeah.
And one of his main directives was he wanted to make sure that not only can Ben drive the thing, but that it also has a remote control so that you can drive Ben in.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did the assignment. He listened in. I remember listening to the show and it was, days later because I was listening late, but I asked it to you guys the photo of Ben in, I don't know if it's the exact one, but it is a kid at the park one day had one that his dad was driving. So I think he crushed it. I appreciate it too. I was told, I think by Nick that Kevin made sure it had to have two seats so he could bring somebody with him. Clutch.
Two seats.
Clutch.
Gotta have it.
Love it. So anyways, we didn't open that. We did open the drum set.
Wow.
And I'll show you. You can listen to the drum set of last night because we had another baby party last night of Ben and his friends carving pumpkins.
Oh, we're banging drums. Oh, that kid's banging drums.
Oh, Alden was all about it. Yeah.
Kid looks like Frodo.
That's incredibly accurate.
Looks like Frodo.
Yeah. But no, they were all about him last night. And so, the drum kit has been moved downstairs along with the trampoline
this kid's going bonkers. He's losing his marbles.
In case of an emergency, when we need to break out the thing. I will say this, that the drum kits and the LEDs are amazing.
Uh-huh.
The cymbals and the setup for the cymbals are probably the cheapest thing I've ever. You hit them and they go bing and they fly off. And it's like, okay.
Great.
Well, that's awesome.
We had a great birthday party as the team. That was awesome to celebrate with you and the family, Greg. Let's jump in and celebrate with the gang out there with our community. Of course, our good friend Knight Shamalama Ding Dong writes in and says, "Happy Thanksgiving to all my fellow Canadians out there." It's Canadian.
Yeah, Matt Rohrbeck was telling me there's Canadian Thanksgiving this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's cool.
Greg,
good for you guys.
Tell him, Greg. You guys celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving?
No, no, no.
What's the deal?
He doesn't do that.
I don't know. We've never celebrated it once. I don't know what their deal is. I don't know.
Does Jen ever make like a look like, yo, I got to celebrate this or anything like that?
No, that's never happened.
Okay. All right. That's a good one right there. Waleed is now for gaming. That's a long name that gets cut off. I apologize. Would love a KF stream for Madison and Propagation PSVR 2. You got some scary games on that PSVR 2?
Who fucking knows?
Okay.
They got Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord coming up. That's what I'm stoked
about. I'll look into it. I want some scary games on the VR.
Hey, I'm looking at Thanksgiving here. I'm trying to find something for you with Thanksgiving, right?
Okay.
Annual Canadian holiday and harvest festival. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck is the point? You know what I mean? What are we saying?
What's special about it? What kind of food items?
But like ours is, of course, the Pilgrims and the Indians settled all their differences, and we never had another problem. Yeah, it was our Thanksgiving. That was our whole thing in America.
I think that's what they wrote in the history books. Is right. I think that's what they wrote. Spider-Man, he writes in and says, the game is in a really okay. This is about Halo. The game is in a really good place now, but it's too little, too late. For first impressions are really important. The damage of no content for such a long time has done incredible damage to this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's reality. I think that's the realest thing you can say about Halo, whether you're defending it or you're on the other side. Like, in reality, this is what happened. Yep. Had a great first impression. Unfortunately, 3 months, 6 months later, they did not have enough juice to keep that thing going. And now we're in this, hey, here's all this cool, awesome stuff. But guess what? I've already moved on to 1,000 other games, and you are constantly competing in a space of online multiplayer and first-person shooters that are already too tough to compete in. It's too late. Unless you have something special, I think Project Tatanka, truly and honestly, if Project Tatanka is something special,
that's a battle royale.
A battle royale or maybe an extended single-player game, whatever this project is that Certain Affinity is working on, could change and swing in Halo's favor, right? If that thing jumps off, guess what gets complimented? Halo Infinite and their multiplayer and their single player. So whatever this is, I think that's going to be the boost, the shot in the arm that they need.
Yeah. Mike, maybe on XCUS you should do an episode about how Microsoft can save Halo.
You know, we've done that a lot. we'll add it to the list. I mean, that's a once a quarter. That's a once a quarter episode at this point. You know what I mean? That's a once a quarter thing. CJ writes in and says, what sells more, Greg Miller? SM2 or MW on October 20th.
Oh.
That is Spider-Man 2 and Mario Wonder. Holy I thought shit. That was Modern Warfare. Yeah, I know. I was reading that. Yeah. Like, you know, what is this?
It's not MW.
About?
It's SMW.
Yeah, I know. Anything. I know.
Not Super Mario World, so people need SMBW.
Uh-huh.
This is complicated.
Spider-Man 2 or Mario Wonder, what sells more? On October 20th.
The day. Just day the day? Day.
Yeah, let's go with the day.
Well, that's weird.
We'll extend it. We'll do the day, then we'll do the I don't month, think and then we'll do the year.
Conversation.
Like,
I think it's
let's
insane.
Have some fun.
Mario, baby.
It's Mario and it's the Switch. Then the Switch is just, there's so many fucking Switches.
Okay.
There's
okay.
so many Switches. Because the gut-wise, I want to say Spider-Man. But then if I try to, and I've always been bad at the sales game. And while I'm thinking too, just remember, I said Pilgrims and Indians, obviously Native Americans. It's just the fact that I went back to like trying to talk as a fourth grader would, and that's what I saw in fourth grade. I apologize.
Okay.
I'm going to say,
I don't even think it's close.
It seems dumb not to say Mario.
Yeah.
Mario seems like the no brainer. I'm going to say Mario.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I'm saying Mario.
Okay.
Saying Mario.
I like this plumber getting all these easy breaks. When's it going to be Peter's time?
Let's switch on over to the Twitch side of things and celebrate some people resubscribing.
Wait, we got breaking news. Drucker is out of his meeting and responds, it's a one-up mushroom, and it's an extra life. Okay. You wouldn't have called it an extra
good,
meeting.
Good.
Okay.
Drucker, you're on the right side of history here.
On the Twitch side of things, Captain Colby Jack has resubscribed at the Tier 1 level for 27 months. 8-Bit Luis with the Tier 1 sub for 35 months and writes in and says, hey, Tim, are you doing a Disney Lorcana stream when it finally releases? Tim, more cardboard coming your way, Disney themed this time. What do you think?
Dude, I freaking wish, man. This little kind of stuff pisses me the fuck off. All right. Super dope art. It's like Disney, but epic. Everything I could ever want in this thing. The set looks beautiful. The art is incredible, Mike. Yeah. This is the type of stuff that me and you really appreciate. Mm-hmm. They, from the jump, these cards are difficult to get.
Like, yeah, it's of course. Not, like, I've
you
seen
can
it.
Get
yeah,
your
yeah.
hands on them at all. And it's like, I'm offended by this process.
Okay.
The Pokemon stuff is extremely annoying, and every once in a while there's some stuff that pisses me off because it should not be this difficult to get things.
Great.
But this Disney Lorcana stuff feels like just an absolute disaster. That, like, I can't even get my hands on a pack of cards. Nah. I wish I could be into it, but I feel like I have such a bad taste in my mouth. I don't think I'm going
to
do it.
You would have loved to see what happened last night. I was getting horizontal at about, 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Ooh.
Had a long day. I went to a child's birthday party. Mm-hmm. Spent some time in the sun all weekend. It was hot. So I'm getting horizontal watching some Sunday night football. And I get a call. I'm outside. I'm like, God damn it. What's going on? Kevin Asek says, Mike, come outside. So I come out, walk over to the car. You would have thought for sure we're dealing drugs.
Yeah.
No. We're opening up packs of one piece cards.
Yeah.
Kevin
yeah.
is in the driver's seat, window down. I'm hanging out the side, and we're just packing cards, hoping to get something good. I unfortunately did not get anything good.
Yeah.
But you know what? $10.
I got my final delivery of my 151 stuff.
Yeah,
we got a lot of packs to open, man.
It's time. It's time. The people want it. People enjoyed it, man. It's a good time.
Yeah, we got to schedule a follow-up stream for that.
Let's keep it going back on over now to the YouTube side of things. And says, Miles Ellis, is anyone playing Cocoon? It's really good. A lot of love, a lot of energy for Cocoon. Anybody planning on playing it here?
I'm still on the Spider-Man review. Okay. Heads down on that. Cocoon is on my PlayStation 5. Again, I had played it at SGF and was like, high-quality game. Probably not a Greg game. And so I'm going to give it another shot and see if starting from scratch and going in will do it. But right now, I have a laundry list of other things I'd rather play than that. This is not my kind of jam. Mm.
Yeah.
Not taking away from the quality of it. I know it's great.
Right now for me, Cocoon and El Paso Elsewhere are the two games that I really, really, really need to play. But it's just, it's hard, man. Like I know we've been talking about like, oh, there's too many games, but it's like just sitting down and being realistic about how time works. It's hard to get things fit in at this point where it's like, I really just got to pick and choose my, how I spend my time. And right now is not the time for those, but it will be. They will find their time in the light.
A good friend, Waylead, writes in again and says, also, PS5 has PSVR 2, an amazing, unique selling point.
Sure.
Okay. Really likes the PSVR
2. We try to sell this kid on spending $500. We're going to toss in another few $100.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a good question. That was a good question. I do want to appreciate that Sony and PlayStation have been putting their games on PC as of late. I know you have to wait a small amount of time, but like that is nice, but yeah, PS5 has some great games. You turn on my PS5 and it's impressive because there's only 7 games total that can fit on that hard drive. And they're all the bangers.
They're fucking bangers.
I mean, they're all, you turn on my PS5 and you look at that. It's just smack in the mouth with bangers.
I will have a lot more to say about this as the Portal comes out and other things like that. But I really feel like HD Rumble and the haptic stuff of the DualSense, the PS5 controller, have truly, for me, been a next-gen experience that felt like dumb marketing bullshit when it was first being talked about. And then now that we are years into this whole thing, when a game uses that stuff correctly, it transforms the experience for me. I care about the immersion so much, and that is there's something so technically magical about how this stuff works. And I've been talking about my search for the perfect Joy-Cons and the Nitro Deck, which is my favorite thing so far that I've had.
I've seen a lot of vibe about that all of a sudden. You did your thing about it, but then I've seen a whole bunch of people talking about it.
Because it finally actually came out.
Gotcha.
And it's awesome. I really love it, but the rumble is atrocious. And it sucks because it actually changes the way I feel about these games, because specifically Nintendo games and PlayStation games, they're designed to use this stuff. And when they use it well, man, it is so additive, and it really like makes it so special to me. So good for them.
I like you saying that. I'm not, still to this day, not sold on the triggers. I don't like the play on that. I'd rather just have the traditional stuff. I will give it to you. I like a number of the other features, from the rumble to the dumb little walkie-talkie. I think it's cute and it's novel for certain things, but I'm still not sold on the triggers. They never feel quite right. Just that push and that pull and fighting it sometimes never enhances my gameplay at all.
I love it so much. And it's not about enhancing it. It enhances the experience, not the gameplay.
Correct.
For me, it definitely does. And specifically on Edge, DualSense Edge, being able to set the triggers so that they're more clicky.
You like
I pull it all the way up. So I have the least travel possible on the shoulder buttons.
Oh, you like that mouse click? That's what they call it, mouse click. Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that to me is where I've really found the sweet spot when it comes to the I don't even know what you call it. Like,
but
the,
isn't that interesting? If you were to go mouse, you know, mouse click on that, you're not getting the feel of the tension, right?
You are. You still
really?
Are. Yeah, yeah. It's like because it's not as like mouse clicky. There is still travel. It's
okay.
Just not as much.
Okay.
But yeah, that's. I think the best way to play.
Nick writes in.
Nick!
And says, Greg, LSU once again proved they are the true Tiger Kings of the SEC this weekend with beating those journo nerds of Mizzou. Ha ha ha. Anyways, much love.
Congratulations to LSU.
Yeah, who is the true Tiger? Who's the number one Tiger?
I mean, they just
you know what I mean. Is there really a question?
Yes.
Yeah, but like
it's popularity around the world. Yeah, LSU, and then they beat us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what mascot does the coolest stuff?
I mean, Truman.
It's gotta be.
You saw the retweet I did, right? Where it was like, why are we having this conversation? I've never seen a photo of the LSU mascot doing a bong rip. Because there's this classic of Truman with a bong. Somebody took it at a fucking house party.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing stuff. Cozy Bear writes in and says, I'm currently enjoying Canadian Thanksgiving with my family.
Hey!
What's one Thanksgiving dish you spread or your spread always needs? You spread, and I was like, oh, shit. Your spread always needs, and what's one you can do without? All right, one dish that's got to be on the table, one dish that can be taken off the table.
I mean, for me, I jumped to sweet potato casserole, right? Like, I think like that's got to be on the table. Mm-hmm. I love that. Not the one with the marshmallows on top.
Sweet potato casserole. I've never had that in my entire life.
Sweet potatoes, you put the pecans on top of it. I'll make it for you. I'll bring it in.
Okay, I'll try it for you, but I don't know if I'd grab it.
Do you like sweet potatoes?
Yes,
you don't like anything.
Fuck around with sweet potatoes.
Yeah, you
that like video you sent me of who is that? Is that Al Michaels?
Yeah, Al Michaels.
I've never had a vegetable.
I
was like, you don't think you'd like carrots? Nah, I've seen the look of carrots. I know. I don't. I know.
So, I think for me right now, clearing the mechanism. Sweet potato casserole.
Okay,
and then I would kick out the green bean casserole. I hate green bean casserole.
I can say that I've never had either one of those. Okay, solid. What about you, Tim?
Ham.
Ham
goes?
Stays.
Okay.
Ham's a hard stay. And goes the cranberry sauce in general. Can't do it.
Wow. I love a good can of cranberry sauce. Get that ocean spray can. Get it out and you slice it all gross.
Admittedly, I haven't had it in decades. When I was little, I hated it. So, like, I'm mature enough to give it another shot.
Okay. I like that. Tim, with FF7 Rebirth practically around the corner, does that mean that we can finally squint and see Kingdom Hearts 4 on the horizon, or is that too insane to think about? Thank you from Chris D.
Dude, I've been saying this for the last couple years, that the narrative of Square like announcing games that are never actually going to come out and it's going to take a decade, I think it's over. Like, I feel like we've seen now back-to-back releases in pretty wild ways. Final Fantasy
wild
16 being announced and then coming out in the time frame it did. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is coming out in a couple months. How is that possible? VII Remake came out in 2020. We are years removed from that, like not many years, and we are actually getting it. I think we're going to get Kingdom Hearts 4 way sooner than people would expect. What does that mean? I'm not sure, but I think that by the end of 2025, we have Kingdom Hearts 4.
End of 2025?
Yes.
Okay. That's exciting stuff. King Vin writes in and says, happy Monday, fellas. Question for Optimus. Any plans to review Little Mermaid movies the same as Lion King and Aladdin? Also, volume is a little bit low.
We're having tech issues. We're working on that stuff. No, there was just too many movies this year. So we didn't do Little Mermaid. And also those never really performed as well as like we kind of wanted them to. So I don't think we're ever going to go back and do that, but yeah, you never know, man. We still don't understand the ramifications of the strikes in terms of movies. So I don't know what in review is going to look like next year yet.
Okay. Mr. Hawks writes in and says, Greg, I finished my adventures with Superman and it might be my favorite depiction of Superman now. Just wholesome content.
It's
that
great.
Made me cry.
Jack Quaid's amazing.
You feeling
great
that?
Great animation.
Yeah.
Benny liked it a lot up until the last two episodes because Superman got in trouble. You know what I mean? It was kind of scary for a little guy, but yeah, okay. It's fantastic. I'm so excited to see more of it.
Oh, you watching any of that?
I watched the first episode. I need to get back to it. It was great.
Okay.
Like, it's really good.
Okay. I like that. MC writes in and says, in May 2021, kind of funny, did a stream to support Palestine Palestine and their victims. Since October 7th, there hasn't been an official statement nor tweet from Kind of Funny regarding the terrorist attacks in Israel. Please don't be silent. MC, you got me with that one. I read that one out.
I mean, yeah, October 7th was a Saturday. We've come into the office today for the first time, and we haven't talked to anybody about anything yet. So that's it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get educated. Let's keep it going with Skitstain over on Twitch side of things. Thoughts on season 2 of Our Flag Means Death?
Dude, I still haven't watched any of it. I haven't watched Reservoir Dogs. Is that what it's called?
What? The Quentin Tarantino movie?
No. Well, I actually haven't seen that either. But Reservoir, what the fuck's the name of this thing? The same, the FX show, Reservoir something.
I don't know.
Reservation Dogs?
Reservation Dogs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Reservation Dogs and Our Flag Has Been Set. I haven't seen either, but I hear that they're all great.
Okay, I like that. And our final one coming in right now from Rhodes Runner with the Prime Gaming sub for 56 months. Tim, I just hit Infinite for the first time in Marvel Snap, and I've been trying lots of random deck combos now. What are some of your favorite slash most fun cards to use?
I'm a Sunstorm guy, a Sunspot guy. I need that in every deck. But yeah, we were doing this on stream. I haven't really changed my deck since that stream, so I'm still using a Shuri deck to some extent. I don't think it's about the quality of the game at this point. I think it's more just my life. But like this last 2 month period has been the most that day to day I'm like, fuck, I have to play Snap, and that's not a good place to be. But I don't want to give up on it. Like, I don't want to miss out on any of the season stuff. So I'm like, do I just keep going or do I take a break and just step away for a little bit and take the loss and be okay with it? I don't know. I blame Pokemon Go.
Wow. Mobile gaming has got Tim tied up.
He's not even playing Twisted. Monster Hunter now.
That's crazy, man. That's
get
crazy.
Get your Hunter rank.
I will say, I'll give you a little fun one before we go. This Saturday, I came into the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hung out, enjoyed the AC. Nice. When Roger Picorni came. Guess what I forced him to play with me? Magic the Gathering.
Wow.
At the table, cleaned it off, put the cards down, and said, Roger, I'm going to teach you how to play Magic the Gathering. And we played 3 full games together, and he's in. So you'll probably see me and Roger playing some Magic today, having some fun. But you know what you will see right after this over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and over on our YouTube channel, there will be a brand new video up. Myself, Nick, Andy, and Ron Funches are going to sit down to play some games. We have a whole wide array of games to choose from, a brand new Inside the Back Rooms game, Pummel Party, and more. But we're going to vibe out with Ron Funches. So make sure to tune in and catch that. Until then, thank you for watching Kind of Funny Games Daily. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.